Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. I'm speaking with Gustavo Arellano, who is the managing editor of the OC Weekly. He's also the author of the popular syndicated column Ask a Mexican, which won the 2006 Association of Alternative News Weeklies Award for Best Column in a Large Circulation Weekly. Welcome to Background Briefing, Gustavo Arellano.
Hola, Ian.
How are you? And your piece on Ask a Mexican about the Tea Party and how the paradise for the Tea Party appears to be Mexico, south of the border, has gotten some very interesting reactions. Have you had any Tea Partiers in your face?
Well, the question was, it was actually two people asking a question, both of them trying to make the point. One was an actual Tea Partier, if I remember correctly. Another one was somebody who hated the Tea Party, but they were both making the point that somehow Mexico, or at least the Mexico in the imagination of Americans, would be something that the Republicans and the conservatives in this country are trying to turn this country into, namely a country with no government whatsoever, no regulations, no care for humanity, really just this dog-eat-dog dystopian wasteland. And in my response, of course, I was a bit sarcastic. My columns always likes to play the devil's advocate. And I said, yes, Mexico is a Tea Partier's paradise. There is no trust of government whatsoever. The government that does exist is corrupt. It's exactly like the Republican Party here in the United States. So all Republicans should move to Mexico.
Large areas of which, of course, are run by people with the most money and the most guns.
Exactly. It's a plutocracy, and that's what the Republican Party wants and the Tea Partiers want in this country. It's a government run by those who can afford to run the government, while the rest of us grovel for the scraps and fight with each other for them like a big pack of dogs.
So, Gustavo Arellano, I wondered at the time of George W. Bush, which, you, as you probably recall, went on for 8 years.
Yeah, I try not to recall.
It was mystifying from the outset, and it continued to be mystifying. And when he was reelected, it was quite extraordinary. And I think the rest of the world said, okay, you guys are on your own. You know, first time around, it was an accident. This time you actually put him in there. But the long and the short of it was, I could never figure out why Bush's agenda, in terms of, you know, he came across as a regular guy, but his agenda was entirely plutocratic, entirely about crony capitalism, and he was all for the inheritors and investors, and he changed America to benefit them immeasurably.
Absolutely,
as we know. So I remember speculating. I'm thinking, well, what do they want? Do they want this country to be third world? Are they actually jealous of the kind of Mexican plutocrats like Carlos Slim, who, you know, if they see a beautiful beach in a national park, they can put a mansion down there. If a young hooker / actress ends up dead in bed with him, she disappears.
Or you have somebody like the former mayor of Tijuana, Jorge Jancron, who was arrested, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, with a cache of weapons, 88 semi-automatics and all sorts of, it's a whole arsenal. Now, what would a good businessman need with a whole arsenal? And everyone knows down in Tijuana that Jorge Jancron is about the shadiest of characters. The great newspaper there said that for the past, I think, 20 years, they've been running an ad saying, Jorge Jancron, why did you kill one of our journalists? And yet 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, Ron's free, you know, free to run. And so what does he do? He goes off and holds a party for all his politicos. That's exactly like how, you know, that's what the Republicans for the past, God, well, even beyond, before Bush, going back to Reagan, really, that's how they've imagined people should live. Although I do have to say, and this is scary for me to say, but in George W. Bush's defense, at least, you know, when it came to the question of immigration, at least he understood that Mexicans are actual human beings too, that Mexicans should be afforded, some sort of dignity in this country when they try to migrate to the United States. This latest batch of Tea Partiers, they don't even give that sort of nicety to Mexicans. So only the Tea Partiers could make the W administration seem downright progressive by comparison.
Well, Gustavo Arellano, that the border issue, of course, is peculiar in terms of its political alliances, because you have left-wing labor unions in bed with right-wing nativist Tea Party types, and then you have right-wing Chamber of Commerce people in bed with left-wing MALDEF people. So
yeah,
it's a strange mix, but I don't understand why nobody's ever pointed out the example of the European Union. And actually, it's a win-win when you have less of a border as opposed to more of a border. And, you know, they spent billions on this useless fence anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and then that, what that happens, no border, that unites libertarians with, you know, the more Aslanista types like myself, you know, who doesn't believe really in borders. But that would never happen. And let's not forget, though, or let's put it this way. The United States believes in borders unless they're of the economic sense. In that case, you create free trade unions like NAFTA, which decimated Mexico. And let's not forget that NAFTA was pushed forth by Republicans, sure, but signed by the Democrat Bill Clinton. So with the issue of immigration, I mean, you have all sorts of alliances, but with the issue of plutocracy, I do believe that's a very, you know, that's one of the crown jewels of the conservatives.
Well, but that's, I don't understand the politics of this country, why the Democrats can't create a narrative around the fact that this, that we are, I think, almost at warp speed becoming a plutonomy run by oligarchs. And you've seen the political power of the Koch brothers and others. Who, interesting enough, I talked to just earlier in the program, I talked to the former mayor of Salt Lake City, who knows John Huntsman well. He's the son of a billionaire, but apparently they have some kind of conscience about giving back to communities and charity, as opposed to spending their money on setting up AstroTurf Tea Party movements to get all these people to vote against their interests so that you can get rid of the EPA and pollute the air and make zillions more than you're already making.
Yeah.
What I find extraordinary, though, is that it seems to be so evident that we're returning to a new Gilded Age, and yet everybody prides themselves on the American dream and the great American middle class. Why can't that be a narrative in this country to something that... you know, let's restore the American dream.
It because we are now in a globalist age. The you know, we've been so neutered is not the term. More like lulled into sleep in terms of class consciousness. We no longer, as long as we have the goodies that corporations send us, whether it's a wireless internet connection or a television or, hey, you know, good cheap food, that keeps us happy. We honestly, especially in this country, even, you know, for the most part, most people are not struggling. Even if they are, they really think that they're somewhat well off. I think things need to get much worse before they can get much better, and I don't know if most people want to see this country getting even worse off than it currently is right now. Although I think when you have more bailouts, more, you know, non-prosecution of people who, you know, of bankers and people who put us in this mess in the first place, I think the typical American working man and woman will see that as an outrage. Unfortunately, the Republicans, the conservatives, they somehow turn it into that, well, it's the fault of the Democrats, it's the fault of the liberals, and we need actually more deregulation instead of actual any watchdogs to guard from this happening again. I mean, you've been seeing that since the Great Depression with the transformation of FDR into somebody almost as big of a tyrant as Stalin or Hitler.
Well, what's so ironic, though, Gustavo Arellano, is that the Chinese, and this, in fact, in one of these Huntsman cables that WikiLeaks leaked when he was ambassador to China, he was pointing out that in his speech recently, he was pointing this out too, that China will have a bigger middle class than the entire United States. So here we are becoming third world, and even the billionaire Warren Buffett said that we're heading to a plantation economy. So you'd think that maybe that might wake us up, you know?
Oh no! Even if that were to wake us up again, they're going to put the blame on, they're going to put the blame on liberals. They're going to put the blame on progressives. They're going to immediately it's a disgusting double-edged sword, because they'll say, they'll look at China, they'll look at India, they'll look at other economies, Brazil even, all these former third world countries that are now rising up, with their own technological advances. And they'll say, well, we can't have, we must dig for oil, or we must drill for oil wherever it is, because look at these other countries. They're not regulating anything. They're just like it's all free trade, free commerce. Of course, those countries are going through, as you said earlier, their own gilded age. Yeah. At one point in the United States, we had unlimited resources. And guess what happened? We used them up so fast because we didn't have any foresight to conserve them, that we put ourselves in the situation that we are now, where oil prices are so high, where we were, despite us, almost 110 years relying on the combustible engine, we've yet to create an alternate. It's insanity. It's absolute insanity. And it's a guaranteed ticket into a very bad world.
So, again, I'm speaking with Gustavo Arellano, who is the managing editor of the OC Weekly. He's also the author of the popular syndicated column Ask a Mexican. And he was musing on that column about how, ironically, Mexico could be the paradise for the Tea Party, and that the United States could end up, if under Tea Party rule, mirroring a country where you have no regulations, no business codes, no social safety net, you have oligarchs in charge, you have guns and violence ruling, of course, the recent example of the mayor of Tijuana being arrested with a house full of guns and then let go. By the way, years ago I worked for Frontline, looked into the assassination of Colosio down there in Tijuana.
Oh yeah.
And boy, that kept coming back to Hank Rohn.
Exactly.
And that's why the Zeta guy was shot, by the way, because he had he had made those links as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yet Rohn walks the street free. He has his little race. Racetrack there. He has his businesses there. He was mayor of Tijuana, for crying out loud. And that's what's happening. And
he could have been governor of the state.
He almost won. With the PRI, yeah. And in fact, I mean, the way this country's going, I would, if it wasn't for the fact that you do have all that narco violence down there, I think there'd be more people, not just Mexicans, but also Americans, going down to Mexico, because despite all of its, all of the things wrong with Mexico in some parts, it's actually still better than the United States in terms of, if you want to get off the grid, for instance, hey, that's a perfect place to go to, because there's still going to be some places that haven't been touched by rampant development. Although I have to say, even in Mexico, you have had an explosion of development in terms of, mansions and bland suburbia in like Tijuana and the bigger cities, Monterrey, Guadalajara. And that's just the Mexican middle class there trying to ape Americans.
Well, just in closing, Gustavo Arellano, let me get a sense of, though, because it seems to me that given that the huge disparity in wealth and the few families that have controlled Mexico for so long, and with one of the richest men in the world, Carlos Slim Alou, being able to own most of the country, and people and the country's been exporting its poverty here to the United States. But it seems to have, through the media, which Televisa and others have controlled, it seems to have really discovered how to get people to vote against their interests, particularly to vote for the PRI party. And every time the PRD wins, of course, they steal it from them. But but it seems to me that's what the Tea Party is really about. It's about working Americans voting against their interests and being what useful idiots for the Koch brothers who are laughing all the way to the bank. So do you think that the U.S. is going to borrow the Mexican media model?
Oh, they have. Are you kidding me? That's the two-party political system in this country. It's you pour a lot of money and you try to convince people to vote against their own interests. At one year or one term, it's a Republican. The other term, it's a Democrat. But it's all ultimately coming from the same spigot, and it's all ultimately reported by the same media that will have these, what is it, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, where everyone's all friendly and happy, and then the following day, you all go and, try to screw each other over. That's the American way, and frankly, that's disgusting.
Well, but the sort of mindless stuff that you see, you know, with scantily clad women and people dressed up as clowns and all, you know, it feels so like bread and circuses. And our news is becoming infotainment. We seem to be more interested in how many times Lindsay Lohan gets arrested than and how we're going to get out of this economic mess.
Oh, sure. But let's not forget that Hedda Hopper and Luella Parsons was, you know, also functioned as basic, you know, as quote-unquote serious journalists during the 50s and 60s. So to romanticize investigative reporting or the news of this country, I think it's a bit myopic, just because, you know, the press here has always been in the mainstream press has always been in the pockets of, you know, people like Otis Chandler, and always will be.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here in Los Angeles, Gustav Arellano, who's the managing editor of the OC Weekly, also has the popular syndicated column Ask a Mexican. So what did we learn on Background Briefing today? We began with Rocky Anderson, the former mayor of Salt Lake City, who knows both Mitt Romney and John Huntsman personally, knows them well. And since John Huntsman is about to announce he's running for the president tomorrow, I thought we'd talk to somebody who actually knows this guy, because my understanding is he's the guy that the Republican establishment want to run. They think he's got the best shot to beat Obama, and so apparently does the White House believe that this guy is a formidable candidate and a great threat, and because he is electable. Now, of course, progressives should be hoping that Sarah Palin gets the nomination. But we'll see whether this country has become hopelessly lost in Tea Party lunacy, or whether there's still some of the old-fashioned Republicans left. But in general, the impression was that this guy is not, even though he's the son of a billionaire, he's apparently not a kind of Koch brother type oligarch. He's actually a guy that cares about people and is quite charitable and believes in public service. And of course, his problem is that he's got to run against himself, the fact that he worked for Obama, that he in cables praised Obamacare, etc. So he's definitely got a tough road to hoe ahead. Then we talked with a former federal prosecutor, now professor of law at Loyola Law School, Laurie Levinson, about this study that was just released today, Executing the Will of the Voters, a Roadmap to Mend and End the California Legislature's Multi-Billion Dollar Death Penalty Debacle. And this was essentially a discussion about the how the state of California spent $4 billion so far, this cash-strapped state going broke, has spent $4 billion so far on the death penalty, and by 2030 will have spent $9 billion. The idea being that maybe this is the way to end the death penalty, through people recognizing the fiscal folly as opposed to the moral disgrace of the death penalty. So that was the sort of where the discussion began, but it sort of broadened out into a general discussion about this anomaly of the United States being alone pretty much in the world supporting the death penalty, and why it happened, and why it is that people can't simply understand that it doesn't work. And perhaps, as Laurie Levinson suggested, that maybe this study will be the beginning of a kind of national recognition that it is cruel and unusual, and not in any ways executed fairly, with proponents of minorities being executed as opposed to whites. And then we finally spoke with the editor of the OC Weekly, Gustavo Arellano. He writes a popular column, Ask a Mexican, and that was a hoot. And he really had some funny things to say about how Mexico is the paradise for the Tea Party. You can hear it all at ianmasters.com. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing, Kim Nassiter, and assistant producer Graham Fitzgibbon. I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.